seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. You remember this morning we looked at a few of the things that they were to return from, such as from their rebelliousness, from seeking help in Egypt, from their idols. But how did they return, and how will each one of the Lord's dear children return? Their return as true repenting sinners. That's how they were to return. Repenting over their going down into Egypt. Repenting over their rebelliousness. Repenting over the idols they had so turned to, and repenting over their many sins. Oh, that there may be in these dark and solemn days many repenting sinners returning. We read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, that a sacred word, return, O backsliding daughter, for I am married unto you. Oh, for returning, repenting sinner, what a wonderful word that would be, wouldn't it, if the Lord were speaking to us today. You know, all we deserve is his wrath, and all they deserve was the eternal hidings of his face. But no, he says, because he loved them, like we've sung in that beautiful hymn, it was because his love was toward them that he caused them to return. Otherwise he could have left them to perish in those sins and ways that they had wandered into. But he says, return, O backsliding daughter. You see, the Lord has his sons, he has his daughters. For I am married unto you. And if the Lord whisper that to a returning soul this afternoon, what a sweet word of encouragement. I am married unto you. In other words, it shall be well while life endure, and well when called to die. So he says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. But I want us help this afternoon to go through the rest of the word of the text. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Really, this is a very beautiful word to the child of God, in quietness. You see, so often we are not quiet, are we? They had known here murmurings. They had known times where they were disquiet and dissatisfied with the Lord's work and his dealings. But he says, in quietness. We read in Apostles' letters, don't we? He says that ye study to be quiet. You know, there are times when the Lord will tell his dear children. He did hear about quietness. We live in a world, don't we, today? It doesn't matter if you go into a town or wherever you go, there seems so much noise. Either music blaring out or noise everywhere. But what a mercy is when the Lord gives us a little quietness. Of course, this is particularly known by God's dear children. It's known in their hearts. Now, I want us help to look at it a few ways. Firstly, to be quiet to men. And to listen to what the Lord would speak. You know, we're often speaking, aren't we? But, you know, it's a wonderful thing when we can be quiet, listening for what the Lord would speak. When we say that, there's this to it as well. Being quiet to men, but speaking to the Lord. And I often think, and I often refer to it, in the case of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. What did the Lord say to them? Ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. They hadn't got to murmur about the situation they were in. They got to be quiet and watch and wait for the Lord to work. But that didn't mean to say they got to be quiet to the Lord, did it? What it meant was they got to continually speak to him and pray to him and commit their way to him. And I feel that is so concerning us. To be quiet before men, but speaking to the Lord. Committing our way to him. Trusting in him. Casting all our care upon him. Speaking to the Lord. Ye shall hold your peace, the Lord said. It may be there's one here this afternoon that you may be saying, well, you know, there's so much to cause us burdens and concerns and exercise and many things to cause us to murmur. It's like one of the old ministers said years ago. He says, and he quoted that word, that there be no complaining in our streets. He said, the only thing we should complain over in our streets is our sin. What wretched sinners we are. I remember two old men many years ago. They were, well, we may say, brothers in the truth. They were so closely knit in the vital things of God. And I remember them saying, you know, there's only one thing we ever fall out over. And that is, who is the greatest sinner? You think of what Paul said. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he knew what it was to feel the chiefest of sinners. And he got no stones to throw at any other sinners. He knew what it was to be the chief of sinners before a holy God. In quietness. So think of it in that sacred way with the children of Israel. Ye shall hold your peace. Quiet before men, speaking to the Lord, and I will fight for you. And he fights the battles of his dear people well, doesn't he, as the hymn writer said. But there's another sacred meaning to this. This quietness means gracious submission to the Lord and to his will. We think of that word in James' epistle, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Oh, that grace of submission. And we need in the pathway we're walking in to be submissive, don't we, to the Lord, to be quiet. It's so easy for us to complain when things are hard, when things are difficult, when the way is rough, and we soon complain, don't we, when we should be submissive, quietly waiting upon the Lord. Waiting for his appearing. And there is a word in this sacred chapter that seemed to rest upon me much in this, and it says this in verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exhorted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him, submissively waiting. What do we sing? Wait then, my soul, submissive wait, prostrate before his awful seat, amidst the terrors of his rod, trust in a wise and gracious God. In quietness. And you think, if you want a beautiful illustration of this quietness, you think of the dear Lord Jesus. When they took him into the judgment hall, and then how he had to bear that cross, the crown of thorns upon his head, and go to Calvary. And you look, we find the Saviour uttered not a word of complaining or murmuring. Sweet submission to his Father's will, and sweet submission to suffer and to bleed and to die for his dear people in quietness. We read, don't we, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not. Committing his soul to God, Oh, the sweet submission. And the Lord knows how to make his dear people submissive. Just stepping back to this returning. Submissive to return. Submissive to rest upon him. And submissive in quietness. And so often, you know, the Lord uses, we may say, two prime means, really, to make his dear people quiet and submissive. The first is sometimes, and he did for the children of Israel and many throughout the sacred word of God, he brought upon them severe affliction, severe opposition from Satan, severe opposition from the enemies, severe troubles. And he used this to bring them right down, to make them submissive, to make them be quiet before men and submissive before God. But the other way the Lord uses is this. By going into what we sung just now, visiting the souls of his dear people with his everlasting love. You know what to make you submissive? The Lord filling your soul with his everlasting love. So your soul is full, and then you'll be submissive. Oh, you will. Or it may be he so favours you with his sweet presence, so his presence just fills your soul, and you're overwhelmed by the sweet presence of the Lord, and all you want to do is be quiet and enjoy it and bless the Lord that he so favoured you. We read, don't we, in the wise man's words in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And we have that really in our text, in quietness. Time to be silent. Time to speak. You know, when is it we can speak? When we are full of the presence of the Lord and full of his love. We've got something to speak about then, haven't we? But we'll speak it to the glory of God. But you may say, well, you've just said about being quiet in it. Yeah, what I mean is this. You know, you won't want to say anything until the time comes the Lord tells you to speak. You won't want to say anything for fear you mar the blessing that you're in. I remember some of the old ones used to say, they came up to the house of God and the Lord so blessed them. They went home and they didn't want to speak to a soul for fear they lost the blessing. They were quiet, you see, and went home and enjoyed the blessedness that they'd experienced in quietness. Oh, that we might know that sweet quietness more and more. We read, don't we, in that, I think it's in the 7th chapter of this sacred prophecy, and he says this: take heed and be quiet, fear not. Oh, think of those beautiful words. Take heed, pause and consider and be quiet and fear not. And if the Lord speak that to you today, you've got something to prayerfully meditate upon and consider, you say. Take heed. Be quiet and fear not. We're prone to fear, aren't we? We're prone to speak. But you think of it in this sacred sense of what you may be in today, and I know not, in quietness. But there is, you see, the time to speak, and when that time comes, it's like Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones will cry out. We think of some of the old godly souls that for years have been exercised concerning following their dear Redeemer in these sacred ordinances. And they didn't feel they could speak. They were so quiet, meditating upon his love, his grace, meditating upon his dealings with them, meditating upon the sufferings of Christ. What did the psalmist say? My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. But then the Lord so favours them, then they've got to speak. And you see, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. They got something to speak of. They could go back over the years of the wonders God alone has wrought. And they can tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found in quietness. But then those of us that may be carrying souls, we're quiet to them because we're so burdened concerning them. We're not quiet to the Lord. He's given him no rest until he blesses. But when the time comes, and I had it with a dear man at Ashwell, I carried it for 20 years. And the Lord wonderfully showed me that the day had come when he would constrain that dear man to venture. And I carried it for those 20 years, and I was silent to him. I didn't give any inclination to him what was in my heart. But after the 20 years, he came to see me. Late one Monday evening, I'd had a phone call from the Lord's servant, Mr. Chapman's wife, to say, could she come and see me regarding joining the church? And she came and she went. And within a little while, I had another phone call to say, could this dear man come? And he said, I'm sorry it's late, but he said, I can't hold my peace any longer. And you know, when he came and opened his heart to me, it just overwhelmed me, really. It was what I'd waited for 20 years. And then I told him, I went right back to those 20 years ago, what the Lord sweetly showed me, how the Lord would bring him. And then I could tell him all about it. But you see, I kept counsel until that day. Quietness. And you know, the Lord gave me over those 20 years sweet quietness and submission to wait his time. It's like I often used to quote, and our dear friend, of course, William Hickman, knew it ever so well, what that word, and he said to me, Not long before he was taken home, he said, whenever you quote it, he said, I weep. A time he has set, you see, to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady and wait on him still. So, this is the message I preach it to myself, you know. He says here, in quietness. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? And in confidence. Shall be your strength. You know, the Lord gives his dear children heavenly confidence. Oh, he does. He can make the soul that trembles and so fearful and so timid to be confident in the vital things of God, what the Lord has done. So dovetailed to this quietness is confidence. And you know, there is a blessed confidence of faith given to the Lord's children. Let me use a few illustrations from God's word. You think of those four that carried the man sick of the palsy. Why did they carry him? Why did they take him upon the rooftop to let him through the tiling? It was because the Lord had given them sweet confidence of faith. If they could just get this dear man to the feet of Jesus, the Lord would heal him. It was a confidence of faith. And we hope to, and you may wonder why we were singing that last hymn, 832, but it dropped in. I was greatly exercised what we should close with. And those lines of the hymn dropped in very sweetly. This fear, the spirit of faith, a confidence that's strong, an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. A confidence that's strong. When you think of those dear men as they carried him up onto that rooftop to let him down through the roof, the house was full, there's no doubt. The devil said, well, you'll never get him there. But the Lord gave them that heavenly confidence of faith. Oh, he did, in quietness. And they carried him quietly up there, didn't they, believing if they could let him down to the Saviour, he would heal him. Oh, may we have a grain of that confidence that they had. A sweet confidence. To believe the Lord would heal him. And the Lord did, didn't he? And then you think of Abraham when he was to offer up Isaac up in Mount Moriah. And he takes him, you know, with a wonderful confidence of faith. And what does he say to his servants? I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. That was the confidence of faith. And you look as he takes the knife to slay Isaac, and the Lord speaks to him twice. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand upon the child. Oh, the confidence of faith given to Abraham. May we have a little of that confidence. Some people are a lot more confident naturally, aren't they, than others. But that we're not talking about natural confidence here. We know the Lord can use heavenly confidence and couple it with a natural confidence, in the sense that a poor, timid child of God, how can they venture into a path of affliction or into an operating theatre or whatever it be? They haven't the confidence naturally, but the Lord gives them the confidence of faith, and then he gives them the confidence naturally to venture. Oh, he does. He's venturing upon the Lord, you see. It's like the hymn writer said, when thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. I'd venture to say lovingly that whenever I venture into this pulpit or any pulpit, I have to go in the sweet confidence of faith the Lord had helped me through. Because if he fails me, I'm finished. The sweet confidence of faith. And it may be those of you that may be exercised concerning the Lord's sacred ordinances, his commandments, you'll say, oh, but I'm so poor, I'm so helpless, I'm only a poor, tempted little sinner, as it were, before God, or a great sinner before God, but feeling to be such a little child of God. But he can give these that confidence to venture, you see. The old preachers used to say that venture in faith is the strongest faith. It's a venturing on him, sink or swim. And it may be in something today you're in, and you've got to venture upon the Lord, leaning upon him. We sung it over the top of the hymn, didn't we? The spouse in the Song of Solomon. She came up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. Where were we leaning this afternoon? In quietness and in confidence. You know, many of the Lord's dear children venture along in the journey and the path the Lord has appointed for them in sweet quietness and confidence. Oh yes, and confidence. You think of the dear Apostle Paul, the times that the Lord permitted his enemies to bring him and question him before kings and before rulers and before nobles. But you look when he went before King Agrippa and those nobles in Acts 26. I count myself happy, King Agrippa. He was happy with a heavenly confidence to be able to speak of what the Lord had done and the reason he preached a precious Jesus like he did. That heavenly confidence. Now these two blessed graces set forth in our text, quietness and confidence, what will they be to you? Well, our text tells us, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Your strength. These two things are be your strength. And that won't fail. We fail in our own natural strength, but the strength the Lord will give to these souls that are in this will not fail. We read, didn't we, this morning in this sacred chapter, where he says, for the Egyptian shall help in vain and to no purpose, therefore have I cried concerning this, Their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. Now, where does the child of God get their strength from? Well, it comes from the Lord himself. What did the apostle say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We need a lot of grace to really be able to say that, don't we? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. The Lord Jesus is the strength of his people. When Paul had that thorn in the flesh, you remember the sweet promise, I often quote it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord said. It's the Lord's strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You have your weakness, poor soul, but if he's your strength, you've nothing to fear. Their strength is to sit still. You see, wherever we find that word, either sit still or be still, you will find it means gracious submission. You look at it in the case of Ruth, when Naomi said to her, sit still, my daughter. She got to wait the Lord's time, submissive, for his appearing. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. The Lord will not rest until he completes, till he finishes his work in the sinner's heart, till he performs the things appointed for them. What did Job say? He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And then you think of that, be still, and know that I am God. Their strength is to sit still. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Oh, be still. That is to be quiet before the Lord. It dovetails beautifully with this text in quietness. And in confidence shall be your strength. Be still and know that I am God. I'm in control, the Lord says, of everything. Your life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. The trials, the afflictions, the difficulties, the opposition from Satan and his agents and from the world, they're all in the Lord's hand. Be still. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And to watch the Lord work, you see, and to wait for him to work. But then we think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. He told them there to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. They got to stand still and faith to view the wonders God alone can do. And to stand still and see the Lord appear and make the way where there was no way. And to deliver his dear children in quietness. Well, we mentioned it earlier, what he said, ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. And the Lord fights the battles of his dear people well, he does. Oh, he does. You see, they could never overcome, the children of Israel couldn't overcome Pharaoh and his host. They were a poor, feeble band, weren't they? But you look how the Lord overcame them. And they saw the enemy dead on the seashore. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But this text closes with a very solemn word. Oh, it does. The instruction of heaven was clear. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The instruction of heaven was clear, but then we find this solemn word, and ye would not. They didn't obey what the Lord told them. And think how solemnly he dealt with them because of it. There may be many times as we look back through our lives, we haven't done what the Lord has told us and we've smarted for it. Here the instruction was clear. But the Holy Spirit as solemnly left on record concerning these, and ye would not. They would not listen. They would not obey. They would not do what he told them. Think how solemn. Oh, may we be as obedient children. And may this word be applied to each of our souls today. The Lord knows why we've had to bring it here. But oh, may this sweet word be applied to each of our souls. None of us know what we've got to go through. Our life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. All events are at his command. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Well, may it be so. And especially as we come down to the swellings of Jordan. Oh, to come down to that great river. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you see, it'll be all what the Lord has done. It won't be what we have done then. It'll be what he has done. And it'll be only his work that will stand. And what he has wrought in us. The rest to be laid in the grave with us. All that's of the creature. Well, may the Holy Spirit apply this word to us. And he shall have all the glory, all the praise for his name's sake. Amen. Thank you.